Good evening. I'm Karen Ashby, your moderator for tonight's telephone town hall. I welcome you to this live event and would like to thank everyone for taking time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senator Art Haywood of the 4th Senate District will take your calls as he discusses Real ID. Senator Haywood will be joined by Real ID Director Sarah Baker. As a reminder, at any time tonight, if you have a question and would like to join the conversation, please press star 3 on your keypad to participate. So without any further delay, let me welcome State Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, Karen. Good evening, everyone. This is Art Haywood. Welcome to this telephone town hall for all my friends and neighbors within the 4th Senate District. I would like to thank everyone who is taking time out of their busy schedule to participate on this call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. Now, before we begin to introduce our fantastic speaker who's going to give us everything that we need to know on Real ID, I would like to send my best wishes to Governor Shapiro and his family. As you may know, a man attempted to kill the governor and his family in a fire, but was unsuccessful, fortunately. Please keep Governor Shapiro and his family in your prayers and thoughts, as I'm sure they are still dealing with this traumatic situation. Also, a couple big updates that are not part of our discussion that lets me run out of Real ID questions. Unfortunately, I have to alert you that the President of the United States may be defying the Supreme Court when it comes to a Supreme Court order to bring back the American who was unlawfully deported to El Salvador. Should we get in a situation where the President is not following court orders, we are in extremely dangerous territory. I certainly hope you don't get there. Also, I got an update from Harvard University, and they have shared that the Trump administration has asked them to change what they teach in order to comply with what he thinks should be taught. And Harvard has said no. I'm only sharing these updates because they are so current and everyone may not be aware of some of these challenges that we face. However, we do face a deadline, and that is the Real ID deadline. If you would like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, press star 3. On your phone, star 3. As Karen said, we're going to talk all Real ID, and we have tonight with us the Real ID Director, Sarah Baker. Thank you so much, Sarah Baker. Please share with folks some updates about what's happening.
Thank you very much, Senator, for having me, and thank you for everyone who's calling in. So our biggest update is that May 7th, which is less than a month away, is the TSA, Transportation Security Administration, so most commonly with planes, is going to be enforcing Real ID deadline. Please note that it's a federal law, and it's a federal deadline, and it's not the Commonwealth. So Pennsylvania has been offering Real ID for 6 years now. We began back in March 1st of 2019. Biggest thing I can start out with is if you are not sure if you have a Real ID or not because you've been issuing it for a while, take out your driver's license or identification card, take it out of your wallet or out of your purse, wherever you may keep it, and take a look at it. And if you see a gold star in the upper right-hand corner, that means you have a Real ID. You are good to go. No worries going to the airport or anything like that. You're set. If your driver's license, on the other hand, says not for Real ID purposes, that is not a Real ID. So I do want to clarify that that is a valid form of identification. It is your driver's license. It is your ID card. That is a real form. of ID that is given out by Pennsylvania, but it does not meet the threshold of the documents you have to show to meet Real ID. So the not for Real ID purposes, what it is for TSA agents and such the like, that when they look at an ID card when you're boarding aircraft, it's a quick visual cue that they're going to look for the star or they're going to look for that phrase. If you do not need a Real ID to vote, to drive, to enter a facility such as going to the IRS or Social Security offices, federal courts, it does not get you out of jury duty, unfortunately. You do not need a Real ID for that. To the Smithsonian, National Parks, the U.S. Capitol, you don't need a Real ID for any of that. When they talk about federal facilities, what they're talking about are nuclear power plants and highly secure facilities, which odds are you already have been issued identification to go into those facilities. So it's not your everyday normal business process or procedure. It's only if you're going to one of those. The military, you need it if you're going to be going on to a military base or facility if you don't have an alternative form of identification such as military ID or dependent ID or something like that that's been issued by the Department of State, the United States. When it comes down to, or Pentagon, when it comes to ID, the most contact you're going to have with it is if you are flying domestically. It does not get you out of the country. It only gets you from here to California, for instance. All 50 states and U.S. territories are participating in Real ID. All states are issuing Real ID. It's fully in compliance. And this is a nationwide deadline on May the 7th. So it's not just for the Commonwealth. It's for all states. The easiest way I would say to visualize this is that if you are going to an airport and you're going to board an aircraft, when you hit that TSA threshold, that security, when you're going through and you have to take off your shoes and all that good stuff, you're entering into the federal world because that's managed by the FAA, that's managed by Homeland Security, TSA, and everything else. When you go into that world, when you need the Real ID. If you're back on the other, the Commonwealth side, you do not need it to do any Commonwealth business. You do not need it to vote here. You do not need it to visit the Capitol, the state Capitol, to visit any national or even state parks or anything like that, or any of ours to get any benefits in Pennsylvania. We do not require Real ID. Real ID in Pennsylvania is optional. It is not mandatory. So should you not fly or not have a need to visit a nuclear power plant or something like that, you do not need a Real ID. Life will go on as normal, as it always has. It's only for those who are seeking to use that to board aircraft in that those secure facilities and military bases. From what I would say is that also, in addition to this, is that Real ID is not the only float game in town. If you have a passport or a passport card, you can use that to go through TSA security. The reason being is that that was already issued by the federal government. So as far as they're concerned in the Real ID law, they have vetted you through the process, been able to see the documents they needed, et cetera, that you can use that product. If you're going to use a passport or passport card or something like that, and if you go to TSA's website, www.tsa.gov. They have a list of a bunch of like veterans ID cards, military cards, a bunch of federally issued identifications you can use instead of a Real ID. We just ask that you make sure that you keep it up to date, you don't let it expire, and to also make a note, a literal note to yourself to remember to take that the next time you fly. It's not a habit for us to take our passports with us to fly to California or Seattle. So it's not a habit that we default to. It's going to take a while for people to remember to grab that passport and take it with them to fly domestically. So we do ask that you make a note, you make sure that that is on your checkoff list for travel, that you have that with you. So when you go to the airport, you don't realize like, oh, or you're driving there of, oh, I forgot to take this with me. That's sort of the brief update for right now. Senator, do you have any other questions or anything you really want me to hit on?
No, I think you did a tremendous job with clarification. Let's get the callers involved and turn it over back to Karen.
All righty. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Sarah. Our first caller is going to be Annie Long. Annie, you should be live.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm trying to find out what do you really need to get a ID card. I went through and I had my Social Security card. I had my marriage certificate. I had my, you know, things, and they said that I didn't have the right things and that my Social Security card had my maiden name on it. That's why I took my marriage license with me. But they still wouldn't give me an ID card.
Okay. Good question. So what we also want to really tell the public is to visit our website. We have a document checklist on our website. You can also get it through the Senator's office. That has all the documents you need, and you can literally do it as a worksheet and check off. So most of, typically what people will bring in is a birth certificate. You bring in your certified birth certificate issued by Office of Vital Records and Statistics, a Social Security, proof of Social Security, so that can be a Social Security card or a W-2, a 1099 or a pay stub. What we look for is it's your full name and all 9 digits, and then you bring in your 2 proofs of residency. So it sounds like in your case, you've probably brought in possibly a birth certificate or something of that nature, and the proof of Social Security, the marriage certificate, and the 2 proofs of residency. So for PennDOT to go to issue a real ID, the key in this one is that we have to go to watch the names go through the process, and everything has to be in your current legal name. So if your birth certificate is in Jane Doe, and you've been married and now you're Jane Smith, if you're going to be using the Jane Smith because you have a certified marriage certificate, we have to see that name go through the process. So your Social Security card in this case would have to be updated to say Jane Smith. We need to see it in your current legal name. Then the certified marriage certificate is what connects those 2 names through. So that's where we see it going from Doe to Smith, and we can make that connection. Then on top of that, you have to have 2 proofs of residency that you bring in, which is just your name and address. In the case of names, name changes, we have to see certified legal documents come through the process. So a certified marriage certificate. When you get married, you apply to get married. They issue a license saying, yes, you can get married. Then when you're married, you have the officiant, whoever that may be, just for the peace. It could be a pastor. It could be any number of people will then do the ceremony. They will sign off on that form, and it is actually sent back to the county. So it would be sent back to the county that issued you that license. Then when the county has it, what they do is they literally, it's not very romantic, it's very legal. They put the transaction on the book, so to speak. It shows that this person was married. So it becomes a legal transaction at that point. And then you're mailed your certified marriage certificate. So what that is you'll see it. It comes from, like, the clerk's court, the proconsular, the register of wills. It really depends on what office the title is, depending on which county you live in. But they do come from the county. And that is what's showing us the certified marriage certificate for the name change. Now, if you've had a legal name change and you've had a petition and et cetera, you can bring that in as well, and that will show how the name legally changed. So it sounds like in your case that you probably need to update your Social Security card to your current legal name. So we'll see your birth certificate, the certified marriage certificate, your current Social Security card, and your current legal name, and the 2 proofs of residency, and you should be good to go.
Sounds like that's it. Updating the Social Security card with the updated name. That's good information to have, and thank you so much for sharing that. All right. Let me just remind folks, if you'd like to ask a question, please press *3 on your telephone at any time. All right, Karen, what's next?
All right, Senator, we are going to go live with Blanche Russell. Blanche, are you there?
Okay, maybe that was
okay.
A question.
Okay, maybe, yep. All righty. We will go to Sarah Hayne Saunders. Sarah, you should be live.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello.
And I was calling to find out, I think I got everything but the birth certificate. I've been married, so I have my marriage license. I have my driver's license and my, the Social Security card, they all say my married and maiden name on it. And I have proof of residency where I live at. With my, even my, my bills come in Sarah Haynes Saunders. My license, Sarah Haynes Saunders. My card, my Social Security card, Sarah Haynes Saunders. And my marriage license just says Sarah Haynes. You know, married to, well, married. But I don't have the birth certificate. I wasn't born in Philadelphia, and I was trying to get it from South Carolina. They want a $29 fee in order to get a $15 birth certificate. How can I go around that, or do I actually have to have that with all the information that I do have?
So for Real ID, very good question. So for Real ID, you do have to have that birth certificate. It is required in the law. If you were to contact South Carolina, I don't know if they have any process where they can waive fees or anything like that. You can definitely seek help through our website where we have it connecting to South Carolina's actual Office of Vital Records and Statistics for more information. But in the case of Real ID, we do have to see that birth certificate.
One more document to go. That's a shame that the processing fee found by South Carolina is trying to make some money on Real ID. But in any event, yeah, that birth certificate is still needed. Thanks for that clarification. All right, Karen, let's keep it going.
All righty, we're going to go live with Betty Gibson. Betty, you should be live.
Yes, I'm Betty Gibson. Thank I'm you. 80 years old. I don't travel anywhere, me or my husband. We want to drive down south. Now, do I really need a real ID, when I got my driver's license?
No. If you don't fly or anything like that and you're just driving around, you do not need a real ID. You're good to go if you don't plan on taking any flights or anything like that.
That's it. If you're not flying or going to a nuclear power plant, you do not need a real ID. Your normal license can serve all access to regular government locations at the said IRS, various places, capitals. So thank you so much for that call and to answer that question. All right, Tara, what's next?
All righty, we're going to go live. We're going to go live with Sakina. Sorry if I pronounced your name incorrectly.
Oh, no, it's fine. No, I was at the DMV renewing my driver's license, and they wouldn't accept my Social Security and passport to get a real ID on my license, so I didn't understand that. But now you're saying you also have to have your birth certificate, too?
No. So in your case, that's a great question. If you have a passport or a passport card and it is valid, it is current, you do not have to show the birth certificate or the name changes. If it's in your current legal name, you're good to go. What you have to bring with that is the proof of Social Security and make sure it's in that same name matching that's on your passport. And then two proofs of residency. And that can be something as easy as your current driver's license that you have, your vehicle registration, auto insurance, or even a package that's gone through the mail. So we've had people, and I tell them, if you get an Amazon package or something through UPS, you can just rip that sucker right off the top of it. That cardboard, you can bring it in. That's a proof of residency. If you had a bill that came through in an electronic one, so let's say you get something from Xfinity or Verizon or something like that that you pay online, you have to print that out because we cannot scan someone's phone into our scanner. So you have to just print out that top sheet having your name and address on it. And we can accept that as well, but you need two proofs. In the meantime, that I'm very sorry if you were turned away from that, from the driver's license centers, and I will address that we've got some lines now. I'm sure that's not gone unnoticed. That you can easily use that to travel for right now and come back when the large surge is happening right now with Real ID, and then get a Real ID later. We will be offering a Real ID. It is part of our normal business operation. So well after May 7th, this is what we will be doing forever, along with standard issuance driver's licenses. So if you don't have one right now and you're not flying anywhere or need it, That's okay. You've got time to come and visit us over the summer or closer to another date. Particularly if you have a passport, you can use that in lieu of. Just make sure that you take it with you.
Thanks so much. Yeah, you got a passport. You're all good for TSA and traveling. So, Ms. Baker reminded us, so don't forget your passport, because normally we're not looking for a passport to go flying from one place to another in the United States. But until you get your real ID, if you're flying, you have a passport. Just remember to take it with you. All right, Karen, who's next?
All righty, we're going to go live with Josanna.
Yes, good evening. My question was, I have obtained my real ID. I would just like to know, is the passport, do I also need the passport as well as the real ID to travel?
If you're flying internationally, the real ID will not be out of the country. So if you're flying overseas, you definitely, or to Canada or anything like that, you have to take your passport with you. Otherwise, the real ID, if you're flying domestically, if you're flying to somewhere within the United States, you can just take that real ID. You do not need to bring your passport with you. It's only when you're doing the international travel is when you're going to have to take that passport. But otherwise, you're good to go with the real ID currently. If you're flying anywhere, if you're flying to Texas or Arizona or something, just take the real ID. It's right in your driver's license. You can board the plane, no issue.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, any place in the United States is the real ID will get you to TSA. And that's the real requirement here. TSA is requiring real ID if you're traveling in the United States. And of course, the customs office requires a passport if you're traveling outside of the United States. But, that's all good. Who's next, Karen? We're getting all the questions that folks wanted answered.
As a quick reminder for everyone participating on this call, if you would like to join in the conversation and ask a question, please just press *3 right on your phone at any time during this call. We're going to go live with Arthur Evans. Arthur, you are live.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Arthur. I have a VA ID. Can I use that interchangeably when I go to get the real ID, not having to take my birth certificate and my Social Security card? Can I use the VA ID in place of getting all the other information?
Great question. Unfortunately, you can't. It's in the regulation, the Real ID regulation that the federal government wrote is what's required, which is the birth certificate and the proof of Social Security and the two proofs of residency. However, you're in the situation also that if you have time and you're not playing anytime soon, or if you are, you can use that VA card. That is acceptable. That's on TSA's website. But in the meantime, you can wait for that surge to sort of dissipate a little bit at the driver's license center, and go in and get your real ID later. But yes, you do, per the regulation, have to bring in the birth certificate and et cetera, et cetera. The VA card is not a proof of identity we can accept alone.
So, Ms. Baker, let me ask you something. So, Arthur has the VA card, which will allow him to get through TSA and get on the airplane, right?
Yes, per TSA's website, where they list what they will accept, they have added that to the list. It's one of the things that I would tell Arthur to keep an eye on, definitely, because they do add things on based on policy, so that list could expand. But that is something that is now listed. It wasn't before. It has been added in the past couple years.
So how will a real ID help Arthur?
It would be actually, it's pretty much personal preference. So if you always have your card, your VA card on you in your wallet, that if you have that with you at all times and you can use that, it's a question of will you typically have it with you every day so you won't forget it at home. If you choose to, you can put it on your driver's license in that case if you're worried that you may leave home without it or something like that. But if you don't have any concerns because it's already something you carry with you, you don't need a real ID. You can just use that.
That is real news. And as you say, VA card was recently added. So that's a fantastic update you shared with the neighbors. Thank you so much. VA card is an option. Just as good as real ID, as long as you have it on you. Yeah, I got it. All right, what's next for our callers? You're doing great. Tell us, man. Really new information for many neighbors.
All righty, we're going to go live with Carolyn Parks.
Good evening. I was wondering, is there a child age requirement for child ID for flying?
Oh, great question. So minors under the age of 18 do not need a real ID as long as you're flying with someone who has approved identification such as a real ID or passport. That is for TSA. They can board the aircraft with their family, et cetera. We do start issuing IDs, identification cards, at the age of 11 in Pennsylvania. So if the individual would want to get an earlier card, for whatever reason, they can certainly opt into real ID at any age. It's not restrictive. It's basically personal preference. But if a minor is traveling with someone who has a real ID or passport or another federally acceptable form of identification, there's no problem with that.
So I got a follow-up question to Carolyn Parks. How is TSA handling unaccompanied minors?
That is another good question. That's a great point. So we've done a lot of work with trying to get that from TSA on how they're going to handle that, and I'll be honest with you, we do not get any feedback from them. The only way I can answer that one is to keep an eye on TSA's website to see if they start addressing that issue. Right now, the only answer they will provide to the states, and this is all the states, is that as long as it is accompanied by someone who has a valid product. That's where it comes into question of, does the individual, meaning the minor, if they're traveling alone, then needs to get a real ID or not? At this point, because TSA has not addressed that question, I would say that they can, if you want to be sure about it, and not have an issue there until they do answer that question for us. And that way they can come into a driver's license center and they can have that identification card issued. Once again, it's going to be the same documents required, but for their proof of residency, so clearly they probably don't have vehicle registration or auto insurance. Anything that's come through the Postal Service. So if anything's been mailed to them, a package, whatever it may be, it's as long as it has their name and address on it, we accept that. Also, they can get a letter from the school. It just says this person resides at this address. There's really nothing to it. We've seen it on report cards, the student's name and address, and then also if there's a letter from the doctor's office or something like that on letterhead saying this person, individual, resides at this address, you can accept that. Those are variations for the two proofs. So a lot of people just have two package slips or two pieces of mail, but there are different options. So to be safe and secure, you do have the option of getting one, because I can't speak to TSA's decision-making process on this particular question, but I assure you we are waiting with bated breath as well to know what that final answer is going to be.
Thank you. Now, you're saying that the youngest age that the state would issue an ID is 11?
I believe it's 11 years old, yes.
So if you send a six-year-old as an unaccompanied minor, then they won't have ID, and that question about how they're going to be treated is not yet resolved.
Not by TSA yet. They've not given us a comment. What they've only said is that those under the age of 18 do not need a real ID if they're accompanied by someone who has real ID. That specific question that's being asked, we have asked, and I've not gotten a response back yet. And also, we monitor TSA's website where they put out tons of questions and answers, and that one has not been expanded on. But all of the states have asked us. We're just waiting for a response.
Okay. That's one gray area for those who send unaccompanied minors on planes. And hopefully we'll get an answer soon. Okay. Who's our next caller?
All right. We're going to go live with Denise Edwards-Smith. Denise, you are live.
I went to the DMV office this past Saturday, and I took my original marriage license along with the receipt for the registrar's office, my two proofs of ID, my Social Security, and my regular ID. The gentleman at the DMV would not accept my marriage license because he said it did not have a certified seal on it.
Okay,
I did ask with the copy, you know how once it goes to the registrar's office and they send it back to you and you have that note, that number on your receipt that says they noted your marriage license in the records, I provided him with that as well. And he would not accept it, saying that I did not have a certified seal on my marriage license.
Okay, which site did you visit?
No, it's Chamonix.
Okay. What I would do is, can you give your name? Karen, can you give her name and information, and we'll look into that further?
Absolutely.
That's what's happening. Because I know what you're saying with the registration slip coming back, and I've seen that many times, where it's sort of a strange way that they certify it. They send it back in a strange, it looks a little off. So we can look into that further. If you can get our contact information, and we can try to see what exactly happened. If there's an error on our end, we can handle it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks
for calling, Denise. Yeah. Looks like you made Director Baker may be able to resolve this one. Thank you so much. That's the real impact of this telephone town hall. All right. Who's next on the line?
All righty. We are going to go live with Cynthia Henry. Cynthia, you should be live.
Yes. Hi. My question was, my mother had remarried when I was in elementary school, and she changed my last name in the public school system to her new married last name. I was like in maybe the third grade. Since that time, I have carried that last name throughout my entire life. I'm in my 70s now. I went to get real ID, and they told me I couldn't get it because my Social Security card and my birth certificate does not match. My Social Security card is in her new last name, not my birth name. Everything that I have is in her married name. My school, throughout school, my job, my driver's license, I even got a passport, although it's now expired, in that name. Now I'm questioning if I'm going to have a problem getting my passport done again because it's not matching my birth certificate.
Yes, so this is a really good question, and this comes up a lot. So people frequently in the past, and this is part of the Real ID regulation that catches people often, ended up taking on different last names or even middle names throughout life, and that has been their identity all the way through. And it can be something that happened in childhood or midlife. It can happen at any point. And people had Social Security cards issued. They were married. They were divorced. They lived their life completely, even a security background check, everything with that name. Real ID law comes along, and it says, by the way, no, we can't accept that. So I get exactly what you're saying. So what they would do in that case is want to get a certified name change saying that this is what your legal name is now. What I would say in this situation is if your passport is expired and you're able to renew it, I would do that. If you have to reapply, I would try to reapply because they go through different vetting than we're allowed to with the Real ID law. The Real ID law is very stringent and prescriptive. It's one of the most prescriptive that the federal government's ever written, and it gives us no room for maneuvering. So in that case, short of having a legal name change done to show her that was your legal name or have a passport, we would have to go based on what your birth document said and then have your Social Security card updated to reflect that. It's very unfortunate, but unfortunately that is how that law is written, and it provides for no exceptions in it. That's it's a rough answer. It's a tough thing. It happens a lot, and I'm sorry about that, but that is what we have to do in the law.
That is rough, as you have said. Hopefully it's going to be a cast on the routes you suggested of getting a passport renewed. But, yeah, what you just described is a real problem with the law. But PennDOT and the rest of us have to follow it. But that is a real significant problem. This process you mentioned of name change, do you have any details about how that works?
It can happen a variety of ways. So you can do an amended birth certificate, and that typically happens if someone did a misspelling on your birth certificate, meaning it could be the hospital or it was Office of Vital Records or there was a middle name that was adopted early on. You can contact the Office of Vital Records, and they can produce an amended birth certificate. The other one is actually doing a legal name change, which is what you have to do. You do a petition to court. They end up posting it on in a newspaper and for a certain amount of time, and then there's a decree that's written that this is your legal name. That's a cumbersome, too. A lot of times what we found is people kind of attempting to then have the solution of the passport, and for whatever reason, it can go through the passport process, and it doesn't always go through us. I don't know what rules they have to follow with the United States Department of State, but ours are very made crystal clear on how we have to do it. So that's why we always ask if someone in any of those different scenarios, if you have a current passport or just recently expired, if you want to renew that or go down that road instead, I would definitely give it a shot. They seem to go through a different process with names than we are required to go through by their law. So I would give that a chance. Otherwise, you can apply for a name change. And it is it's just a legal process you have to go through where they post it, and they then give you a decree of this is your legal name going forward.
Okay. Yeah. Very challenging process, but hopefully the passport route will work. Okay, what's our next caller?
All righty. Senator, we have some just a quick question from online. Carrie from Abington asks, what steps is PennDOT taking to ensure access getting a real ID for seniors who cannot stand for hours in long lines?
Very good question. So we are not able to offer those hours. We did that during COVID. So what we are doing is that we have opened on Monday, so they're called Real ID Days. And even Monday, we were open today, we were open last week. The only week we will not be open on a Monday is actually the one following Easter. Otherwise, we will be doing that and also the first week in May. We are only doing Real ID transactions. And this is all of our driver's license centers. This isn't just the Real ID centers. This is all of them. They are open, fully staffed. We are only doing the Real ID transaction because it's a quick transaction, and we don't have people been waiting in line behind someone who might be doing a knowledge test. We do offer Real ID throughout the week, Tuesday through Saturday, normally, but we wanted to reserve that one day for a Real ID day. Our sites do have ample seating. If there's an accommodation that's needed, we would ask that you just go through the normal process and go through the senator's office. We have named that for people. But that is, unfortunately, the number of people we have coming into our site, we can't block out times or anything like that because we, as you've seen, we have a lot of lines going on right now and substantial wait time. So we will certainly try to get you in and get you seated. I would definitely look at the Real ID Monday because that is just dedicated to that transaction alone, and getting through that process much faster. We have found the Real ID Mondays, people are waiting much less amount of time. That's for everyone who needs a Real ID. If you can go on a Monday, it's much less of a wait. It's a quick in and out. and people are very satisfied with that option being there. Also, I wanted to note that if you're there at 4, say, like, we close at 4:15, if you're there at 4:10 or even 4:13, you will not be turned away for service. Once those doors close at 4:15 and we don't allow more customers in, the customers in those driver's license centers will be serviced. We wait and we service everyone. We don't go home till everyone has been taken care of. So our staff has been going home at 6 o'clock at night, sometimes 6:30, because anyone who's already taken a number from the queuing system or in the building, we will serve you. We will not ask you to leave or turn you away. So if you are getting in there at 4 o'clock, yes, there may be a wait, but we will serve you through the 4A Real ID product or any other product you're in there for. We will not ask you to leave. I did want people to know that, to have no fear of that.
Thanks. Well, thanks for that update. Now, let's say you're not in the building, but you're outside in the line. Does the rules apply to you, or do you need to be actually in the building as opposed to outside in the line?
The outside will probably, if they're doing the outside, will probably cap to a certain point, and they'll cut off the line.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, at the end of the day, we're not seeing as many lines outside. Most people have gone through the process, or they're in the building at some point. What I would always say is earlier the better if you're going, if you get into that process and in that line. But also understand that if you don't need a real ID right now, meaning you're not flying in May or June or anything like that, you can wait. It's okay. We'll keep doing real ID. So you can wait till a later date. So if you're flying in, say, August or October, you can wait till the surge comes down and come into the driver's license center and get your real ID without these long waits. So I don't want people to be, and I know the media is kind of how the messaging has gone out, where it sounds like the deadline means that we're going to stop issuing real ID. That's not the case. We will continue issuing it. So you do have time to get your documents together and get all the stuff that you need to come in to get a real ID. It's not that we're going to stop issuing on that date. And since you only need it for air travel, those military bases, and then the nuclear power plant, odds are it's not going to affect you in your everyday life. But once again, this is a personal choice. If you want to get it before the May 7th date, just because your lifestyle, you travel a lot or you have family that you want to pick up and go or you win a trip or something like that, totally understand. Please come in and get your real ID. But for those that are kind of on the fence about it or not sure, we are issuing well past that May 7th date. So there is time.
Thank you. I have a follow-up question. So, let's say we're traveling out of state on Amtrak by train. Is the real ID required for train travel?
No, it is not. It is not required for Amtrak or Greyhound or anything like that. It's only when you're going into TSA for flying.
Thank you. All right. Who's our next caller?
All right, just a quick reminder, if you'd like to join in the conversation or ask a question, just press *3 on your telephone at any time. Our next caller is Kathleen Bolton. Kathleen, you are live.
Yes, hi. I was wondering, they were saying that you need a real ID to vote. Now, there's elections that are coming up in May and things like that. Do you need a real ID in May to vote? Or how about, like, the November elections? Do you need a real ID? Or do you use a passport, or do you have to have both?
You do not need a real ID to vote. I do know what you're speaking of, where there's been things swirling around of asking. I know that it's been in the U.S. Congress and stuff of that matter. None of that has passed. Stone, I think, got through its first steps of being able to go through the process legislatively, congressional. So, no, you do not need a real ID to vote. That would be an act of Congress, which will be very loud, but even then, the requirement of a real ID, that's, the states will have a lot of input on that, and so will a lot of other people, but you do not need one. So when you go to vote in May, in November, you are not required to have a real ID or a passport or anything like that. You're going to vote as you always vote.
Thanks for that clarification. There's a lot of information circulating around that's just not accurate. I'm so glad that we're correcting that and getting accurate information for individuals to combat so much of the stuff that we just hear. All right. Who's next?
All righty. Senator, there's about 15 minutes left on our call as we're winding down. There are quite a few people in the queue. Would you like to continue with the Real ID, or would you like to hop to a different topic?
Let's continue with Real ID. We've got a number of people in the queue. Let's answer as many questions that our neighbors have. Thanks for asking.
All righty. Our next caller is Carolyn Parks. Carolyn, you are live.
Okay, yes, I called before in reference to the children's age requirement, but I wanted to make sure that I got this straight. Now, you're saying that at the age, starting at the age of 11 or approximately the age of 11, they can acquire a real ID at that age, and also...
You can get an ID.
Correct. Go ahead. A real ID.
Yeah.
For those kids. Okay. And what's required again? I'm sorry, I kind of missed it as far as their identification, because they definitely need their birth certificate. Is that correct?
Correct. And a proof of Social Security, so that can be the Social Security card, because they probably don't have a W-2. Then they would need to bring in just the two proofs of residency. So once again, that can just be basic mail that they've received through the Postal Service. It can be a report card or a letter from the doctor's office, just something, and it needs to be two proofs saying their name and address on it. Please keep in mind for everyone that anyone is eligible. If you're legally present in Pennsylvania, meaning even if you're a non-U.S. citizen and you have an INS status, everyone is eligible for Real ID. If you are a non-U.S. citizen, we do go to our website. You're going to have to just bring in the documentation that fits your visa status, which you bring in anyway to renew your ID or driver's license. But both U.S. citizens and non-U.S. citizens are eligible for a Real ID. Also, there is no age limit. You're eligible for a Real ID. So please understand that you can come in at any time and get that Real ID. There's no restrictions on that.
That's an update. Okay. Who's next?
All righty. We're going to go live with Marietta Rhodes. Excuse me. Marietta, you are live.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, what is the cost of the Real ID?
Great question. So the way Real ID works is because it's optional in Pennsylvania. There's a $30 one-time opt-in fee. So you pay that one time, and then what we do is we renew your product. So you'll pay your renewal fee. So let's say that if you have a basic driver's license like I have, meaning I don't have a motorcycle or CDL or anything else on it, what I would do is pay the $30 fee, and then renewal right now is $39.50. So I pay that, but when you do that, what we do is we take the 4 years for the renewal and we add it to your current license. So when I opted into Real ID, I had 2 years left on my driver's license. When I opted in, I paid the $30 fee plus I paid my renewal fee, and I walked out the door with a 6-year license. So whatever time you have currently on your license, add 4 more years to it. So there have been some people that have walked out with a 7-year license based on when they've opted in. At the very minimum, it'll be 4 that you will have that Real ID for. And when you renew your Real ID, there is nothing different than you would for standard. So there's no fee, extra fees or anything like that. That's a one-time hit. It's a standard renewal fee, whatever applies to you. There's no additional documentation you have to bring in or anything like that. You only show that one time. You can renew it online, through the mail, or in person at the driver's license center. There's nothing else you have to bring moving forward. Once you're in the program, you're in the program, unless you want to leave, and then we have you sign forms. So no one's accidentally opted out of Real ID. You have to actually fill out paperwork to do so. So once you're in, you're done, and you're just going to renew as you would today with a standard issuance license. There is no change in that process.
Good update. Yeah, that's helpful. That's helpful. All right. Who's next?
All righty. Our next caller is Robin Wilson. Robin, you are live.
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, well, one of my questions first, do you have to surrender your driver's license to get the Real ID?
great question. So ask you what it is. It's a real ID. We will take your driver's license because we're going to give you a new one if you're going to a same-day issuance location. If you're doing a central issuance, which is your typical driver's license center, what we do is we'll mail it to you. So the star on the card, we have to get that on the card. And so it goes back to how we do the transaction. If we just did a duplicate license because it's not a sticker, it's actually in the actual printing of the license. If we just did a duplicate where you handed it to us and we handed you something back, it's going to cost exactly the same as a renewal, which is why we put the renewal transaction in it. So you get bang for your buck. What we will do is if you are a standard location, what you will do is you will opt into Real ID. We're going to give you a temporary driving receipt that's valid. Law enforcement knows. Everyone knows about it. You're going to keep that plastic current product you have in your hand, and you're going to get your Real ID sent to you in the mail. It's safe and secure. The process is we've been doing it for a long time. If you're at a same-day location, like a Real ID center, of which we have 15 of them statewide, in the Philadelphia area, we have in Norristown, King of Prussia, South 70th Street is one of our locations, and a little bit further to the north towards Allentown, we have one in Whitehall. And if you wanted to venture out west, you can go out to the Lancaster location. What that means is you go in and you would get it same day. So what we would do is issue that card over the counter to you and you walk out with the Real ID. Everyone knows that we do it the hybrid way, two different versions. So it's good to go. But yes, eventually you will end up using that Real ID. We'll replace your driver's license or identification card.
All right. Thank you. Let's take a few more. We got about 8 minutes. Let's see how many we can squeeze in.
All righty. Our next caller is Janet Lockett. Janet, you are live.
Hi. Boy, my questions have changed since I've been listening to this. Now, my license doesn't expire until 2028. So technically, I don't have to do anything since I'm not traveling outside of the domestic United States. Is that true?
If you're flying within the United States, that's when you would want to look into Real ID as an option. The Real ID does not get you out of the country. If you're flying out of the country, you need a passport.
Okay.
If you are flying to, yes, like Florida or Texas or something like that, you would want to look into the Real ID or if you have another form of acceptable identification. Now, let's say you're not flying. You don't plan on flying in the next few years. You can wait and opt into Real ID at your time of renewal. That's absolutely fine. It's really your personal choice on how you want to do that.
But if you're going to see TSA, you need Real ID or passport.
Correct.
Or, we also learned VA is permitted, as well as some other ones. But those are some of the big ones. All right. Let's keep going.
All right. Your next caller is...
a lot of questions.
Yes. Our next caller is William Simmons. William, you are live.
Don't look at this. I forgot that that was
right. William.
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 William. Okay. I believe his call dropped. But we can go to the next caller. The next caller will be Dorothy. Dorothy, you are live.
I think they already answered my question as far as what documents were needed to get the Real ID.
Okay, that's good. Thanks for calling. Yeah, I'm glad you got the answer.
All righty. Our next caller is Peggy Dent. Peggy, you are live.
Hi, I want to thank you first for having these calls. They're really helpful. The other thing I want to know is my passport has expired. I had an accident. And I'm not able to drive anymore, and I'm not able to, so I have a non-driver's license, and I'm not able to, fly as much as I used to. So I want to know if I can when I go for my Real ID, I'm hoping to go next winter to Florida, but I'm hoping by then, I don't know, But what I want to know is if I can use my expired passport, if I can take that as one of my forms of identification.
No, unfortunately, it has to be a valid U.S. passport. So if you wanted to renew your passport and get a passport card or a passport, you could use that in lieu of a real ID, or you can then use that as your proof of identity. If you do not want to renew your passport, then you would need to just bring in a birth certificate, that proof of Social Security and your current legal name, any history of name changes, and then the two proofs of residency. But unfortunately, we have to take, we can only accept valid U.S. passports.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I see a couple questions that were backup questions that I would like to ask quickly. One question is, do I need real ID for everyday uses, like purchases from the state store?
No, real ID is not required for anything like that. Once again, it's TSA if you're going to fly a military base or a nuclear power plant or something of that level. But for everyday life, you do not need a real ID.
Another question is there any financial assistance or fee waiver available for low-income residents who need a real ID but may not be able to afford the associated cost?
Unfortunately, the department does not have anything of that nature at this point. The fee is, it's what it is. It's mainly because actuarial fees are set by law and where the money goes to. So, unfortunately, we do not have a fee waiver process nor a way to help that process move through.
All right. Last one I see here, this is one you've addressed already, but I think it requires amplification. So the question is, does this mean I will no longer receive a boarding pass when flying?
And I no, good question.
Mm-hmm.
Great question. You will still receive your boarding pass, whether it be printed or on your phone. All the Real ID is going to let you do is get through the security. It's not going to move you up, like you're not getting a TSA pre-check or anything like that. This is for every day when you're boarding an aircraft through the normal line, like I take the normal line. I will still check in. I will get my boarding pass, et cetera, and I will wait in line with others to get through TSA security. It's not a fast track or anything like that. It's just a requirement now to be able to board that aircraft.
Nice try, whoever asked that question. Got to get ahead in line. I get it. I think, Karen, are we at the end, or what do you think?
I believe we are at the end of the call.
All right. Well, hey, this has been a great discussion. Again, I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this evening. The Tracy has been fantastic with short, quick, thorough answers. I'd also like to thank everyone for participating in our telephone town hall discussion. To those who listened in and to those who asked questions and gave us some of their concerns and recommendations. Now, if you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You will be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Again, thank you again for your participation. Ms. Baker, thank you so much for your clarity and being available this evening. Again, if anyone has any additional questions or concerns, please call my office in Philadelphia at 215-242-8171 or visit my website at SenatorHeywood.com. Thank you all again and have a great evening.
Thank you.